2 Timothy chapter number 3, verses 14 through 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14, 15, 16, and 17. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful and grateful that we can call upon you tonight, thankful that we can assemble ourselves together. Our purpose tonight is to learn of you, to learn from your word, and to worship and glory in you and you alone. So God, I pray that you'd help us to do that tonight. May our hearts rejoice in you, what you have given to us, how you have provided for us and saved us. God, help us to be grateful and thankful and rejoiceful in all that we have in Jesus Christ, and we'll be thankful tonight in Christ's name. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, 15, 16, and 17. Verse 14. Paul, writing to Timothy, says, But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And God's people said, amen. We have been looking at what the reformers called the five solas. And what these five solas are five truths that are a summary of the gospel. Or we could say five truths that every believer must believe to be saved, or five truths worthy of fighting and dying for. And what the reformers had discovered were biblical truths that the Roman Catholic Church had poisoned and corrupted. And so if we were to take away the word alone in any of these truths, the Catholic Church would have no problem agreeing with these doctrines. If we simply said that salvation is by grace, in Christ, through faith, by Scripture, and for God's glory, the Roman Catholic Church wouldn't have a problem with that. The problem would be is if we don't allow an and to be added, and we add alone, so that we will not allow salvation to be by grace and anything else, or Christ in anything else, or through faith in anything else, or by Scripture in anything else, or for God's glory in anything else. When we say that salvation is by grace alone, in Christ alone, through faith alone, by Scripture alone, for God's glory alone, that's where we have some problems and some disagreements. Amen? The problem for the reformers was the word and what it followed, or what followed it. As the reformers read and studied the Bible, they saw that it was not and, but it was alone. They discovered that the Word of God taught salvation was by grace alone, in Christ alone, through faith alone, in Scripture alone, for the glory of God alone. Seems simple, doesn't it? Change from and to alone, but how huge that change was. So tonight we want to look at by Scripture alone. We've already looked at by grace alone and through Christ alone and through faith alone. Tonight we want to look at Scripture alone. And the problem that the reformers saw in the Catholic Church was that the church was elevating other things to the same level and often beyond and above the place that Scripture held. Or in other words, Scripture was certainly seen as an authority, but it was just one of several authorities. There were other equal authorities, and sometimes there were other surpassing authorities. Things such as tradition, or the teaching of the church, or the Pope's decrees. And the Reformers believed that only the Word of God contained the truth and was trustworthy. And that every other thing, every other authority must be judged by what the authority of Scripture says. So let's tonight look at this text that is before us, and let me give you some categories that the Reformers were committed to and wanted to emphasize as far as Scripture alone was concerned. Number one, the supremacy of Scripture alone. The supremacy of Scripture alone. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. This means that Scripture alone is our final authority, right? Not Scripture and anything else. Scripture alone is our final authority. Sola Scriptura means that the Bible is our chief, our supreme, our ultimate authority. Doesn't matter what I may say. It doesn't matter what you may say. It doesn't matter what the church may say. All opinions, all sayings must bow to the authority of Scripture. Say amen. It is Scripture that is our authority, not what the preacher says, not what the parishioners say, not what the deacons say, not what the church teaches. It is Scripture alone. And every other opinion or idea must bow to the authority of that Scripture. So I'm not saying that the Bible is the only authority. But the Scripture alone is our final authority. It is the authority that rules and reigns and governs all other authorities. Say amen. So if I say something, whatever I say must bow to Scripture. Say amen. Now this also means that all other authorities are to be followed only in so much as they align with Scripture. And as they are seen to be subservient to Scripture, which alone is our supreme authority. So we only follow those who are leaders who are following Scripture. And the reason why Scripture alone is to hold this place of final authority in our lives is because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Which means, the word inspiration means God breathed. That means that the words that we have in our Bibles are the very words of God. Now, when I say something, that's the words of a man. When you say something, that's the words of a man. When the church says something, that's the words of an institution. When the Pope says something, that's the words of a man. When God says something, that's the words of God. And the words of God hold supreme authority over all other words. Amen? And the reason that is because, I mean, even though that we say, right, we may say that these words are the words or the voices that we've heard of God, the only thing that we can be absolutely sure that are the words of God are the words of God. Right? I can say, I got a word from the Lord. I can't tell you for sure that was the Lord. You can't tell me for sure that was the Lord. The only thing that we know for sure, without doubt, is the Word of God, is the words that are recorded in the Scripture. They are the very words of God. So therefore, the Word of God is our authority. We are to let Scripture speak for itself and not speak for it. And we would hold that there is nothing else that is to hold an authoritative place as high as Scripture in our hearts or in this church. Say amen. It is Scripture alone, Scripture in the highest place, and everything else must submit and bow to it. Amen. Number two. Not only did the Reformers see that in the Scripture, the Bible speaks about the supremacy of Scripture alone, but the Bible also talks about the sufficiency of Scripture alone. So not only is the Scripture our supreme authority, but the Scripture also provides believers with all the truth that they need for salvation and following after Christ. Say amen. In other words, for someone to be saved and then someone to live a life pleasing to God, it's all contained in Scripture. Say amen. It is sufficient. The Bible, therefore, is sufficient for everything about faith and practice. The Scriptures fully contain the will of God. It's so funny that we're searching and looking for the will of God when it's in the Scriptures. And whatever we are to believe, whatever we ought to believe about salvation is sufficiently taught in the Word of God. And the whole counsel of God concerning all things necessary for the glory of God, for our salvation, for faith and life, is either expressly set down in Scripture or it is deduced from the consequence of reading Scripture. Say amen. Not new revelations. Not traditions of men. Say amen. Not changes that the new Pope may make. The Scriptures alone do not tell us everything we are to know on every subject. The Bible is not sufficient to tell you everything about math. Say amen. The Bible will not teach you how to do trigonometry. Matter of fact, nobody can teach me how to do trigonometry. The Bible doesn't tell us how we are to parse verbs or nouns or science or history. It tells us some history, but not all history. The Bible is not a book that tells us everything about everything, but when it comes to faith and practice, the Bible is sufficient. Now, God also speaks to us through creation, right? Through nature. But the Bible tells us that creation and nature are not sufficient to show us how to be saved and how to live for God. But the Scriptures are sufficient. And we do not add traditions. We do not add teachings of men. I often hear preachers continually say that the message that they are going to preach was something God gave them. I'd be careful about listening to those kind of people. Say amen. Whenever I preach, it is not what God gave me. It's what God has already said and recorded and preserved in His Word. Say amen. I'm not listening for further words from God. I'm trying to figure out what God has already said. Say amen. I need to study it and pray over it. The Scripture is sufficient to make us wise to salvation and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in all righteousness, and able to equip us and empower us to do all good works. That's the Scriptures. No other book is needed but the Scriptures. What we say about salvation, what we say about God, what we say about man, what we say about following after Christ must be found in Scripture. Or if what I say about salvation or God or man or following after Christ better be backed up by Scripture. Much of what we say and teach is not. Are we not to labor over the Word, making sure we get it right? Say amen. If I tell you, I have a message from God this morning. He and I had a little time together, and God gave me this message. God gave me this word for you. How are you going to argue with that? right? What has to happen for that to be received by you? It better be in Scripture. Say amen. And if it has to be in Scripture, I really don't need a new word from God, do I? I'm afraid that preachers are often too busy to study and find out what the Word says and make sure they get it right and not add tradition or new thoughts. It is Scripture alone, and I would add this, it's not Scripture in your experience. It's Scripture. But wait a minute, preacher, I experienced something. It's Scripture. Scripture alone. It is not Scripture and culture. It's Scripture alone. And let me add that Scripture is sufficient at all times and all places and with all people. Amen. So the Reformer says Scripture is supreme, and it is supreme alone. Scripture for faith and practice is sufficient. It's sufficient alone. Number three, the surety of Scripture alone. Scripture is not only inspired, but Scripture is inerrant. What do I mean by that? There are no errors in Scripture. Say amen. So we would say that Scripture to be believed and obeyed does not depend on the testimony of any man or church, but entirely upon God. Say amen. Who is the author, and therefore it is to be received because it is the Word of God. Scripture is the Word of God. Because it contains God's Word, Scripture is God's Word, and because the Bible is God speaking, and because He is God and the God of truth, there can be no error. Do you understand if we say that the Bible contains error, and then we also believe that the Bible is God-breathed, we're saying that God communicated to us errors, and therefore He's no longer God. The Word is true, and the Word is trustworthy in everything that it says. The God of truth has breathed out the Word of truth, and the result is nothing less than a flawless authority for the church. The Scriptures are flawless. Say amen. The Word of God is truth and is trustworthy. Now, Andy Stanley, who is the son of Charles Stanley, pastor of North Point Church in Atlanta, has taught his church that it's okay if you don't believe everything that's in the Bible. Well, you understand, we can't prove. There's not any evidence that we can say for certain that there was a worldwide flood. There's no archaeological evidence for a mass exodus of the Israelites from Egypt, or there's no proof that walls fell down by people simply marching around them, or proof that a fish can swallow a man. You really don't have to believe all those fables and myths, as long as you believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and that He was resurrected. But I'm thinking, if the Scriptures contain errors about the flood, about the exodus of the Israelites through the Red Sea, about walls falling down at Jericho, about a giant fish swallowing Jonah, if the Bible is wrong there, how do I know the Bible is not wrong everywhere? Why should I trust Scripture at all? Especially, why should I trust Scripture as our supreme and final authority? Isn't it true if the Scriptures are in error in one part, we would have a hard time trusting Scriptures at any part? And I don't know about you, it's harder for me to believe a dead man rose from the dead than it is for a fish to swallow a man. everything and everyone else makes errors. God doesn't. And His Word contains no errors because He has spoken it. Scripture is true in everything that it affirms if we rightly interpret it. So the truth of Scripture is foundational to our faith. And if we forsake Scripture, what do we lose in the process? I was reading about a mega church, big church, forgot where it was at. But they were one of the first churches that came out accepting homosexual marriages and accepting homosexual members into their church. They were one of the very first ones to do that. They led the way in that. And they've continued that. They marry same-sex partners together and they bring homosexuals into the church. They have just fundamentally left Scriptures, haven't they? Well, what do we lose when we do that? You know what I just found out, what they just reported? The mega church facilities, all 23 acres and all of their buildings are up for sale because their attendance is so low they can't pay the payments anymore. And you know what I said? Praise God. Praise God. What do you lose when you leave Scripture? It may seem like everything's going well. God doesn't bless that mess. The truth of Scripture is foundational. There are no errors in Scripture. Say amen. Why? Because God spoke Scripture and He is without error. Number four, I'm done. The simplicity of Scripture alone. So the Reformers were committed to Scripture. That it must be supreme, that it is sufficient, that it is sure and true and without error and infallible. And then they argued that Scripture is clear. Or they argued for the clarity of Scripture. Or in other words, God does not leave us guessing what God has said. Say amen. God did not communicate His Word in a way that we cannot know what He wants or what He thinks. He has communicated His will for His people in His own words, and they are not unclear. They are clear. And we cannot think that what God says and what God does is somehow divorced from who He is. The Word is clear because God is clear. And, you know, I don't want to upset you for those who've bought books and things like that. But the Bible's not written in code. You don't need a Bible code book or a deciphering ring from Lucky Charms to figure out what the Bible says. God didn't write it every 12th, take the first letter of or take every 12th letter and it's going to tell you something. God didn't write it that way. If you take the 12th letter of every word in the 4th chapter of the Old Testament books, it will clearly tell you that Hitler was going to kill 6 million Jews. Did God write the Word that way? No. There was no Da Vinci code, right? The Word comes to us in plain language. The Word of God comes to us in clarity. Because God's purpose of Scripture is that His people might be instructed in His way. So the message has to be clear. Say amen. Matter of fact, I would say this. The effectiveness of the Word is tied to the clarity of the Word. The more confusing the Word is, the more ineffective the Word will be. Say amen. So here was the catch for the Reformers. The Roman Catholic Church had for centuries said that Scripture was not clear. Scripture was unclear. So unclear that believers everywhere had to depend on the infallible interpretation of the Roman Catholic Church. Say amen. So unclear that individual believers could not possibly interpret Scripture for themselves, and therefore had to be dependent upon Rome. Who was never mistaken in its official teaching and doctrine. And so when you visit Catholic people, what do they tell you? The Pope will tell me what I need to know. I don't need to read the Scriptures. I can't understand the Scriptures. But my priest will tell me what the Scriptures say. That has been the teaching of the Catholic Church for centuries. Matter of fact, they did not want to put the Word of God in the hands of people. Because if you put the Word of God in the hands of people, they start reading the Word of God. And they no longer are dependent upon the church. And that's not only a hit to their power and control, it's a hit to their finances. Say amen. The Reformers said this: God wrote the Word of God in such a way that believers can understand the Word of God without the church telling them what it says. Say amen. Now, this does not mean that all Scripture is equally clear, right? It doesn't mean that there are not some passages that will be hard for us to understand. It does mean this: if you don't understand it, it's not Scripture's fault. Say amen. If you don't understand it, it's not God's fault. Whose fault would it be? My fault. Because as we interpret Scripture, we have to remember that we are sinful and we are fallible, right? And, can I say, we're a little lazy. Don't put the work in required to properly understand it. You understand that to understand the Word of God, you've got to do more than just have a quick read through it, right? And I would say this: we don't really rely on the Holy Spirit to illuminate us and to teach us the Scriptures and make the meaning of Scripture clear. Because it is the Spirit of God that opens our eyes to see what is truly there. Amen? So let me ask the question. If we say the Bible is not clear and the Bible is beyond our ability to properly understand it, who in the world is going to read it? Say amen. Well, why would I read it? Why would I need a copy of it? The church will tell me what it says. The church will tell me what it means. And the church is never wrong. And do you know what the Catholic Church did? Men that were putting the Scriptures into the language of the people so they could read them, you know what they did to them? They killed them. William Tyndale, who was the first to put the Bible into the English language, was killed for simply putting the Bible into the language where the common people could read it. You with me? So listen, how many of you are holding a Bible tonight? You understand that's not enough. You can't just have a Bible. You have to read the Bible. And you have to approach the Scripture as pupils. You have to come to Scripture to hear and to listen to what God has to say. And our prayer should always be, open our eyes that we may see these wonderful things in your law. Say amen. And listen, you never take what I say as being infallible. Never. I'm a man. I'm human. I make mistakes. As hard as I try not to, I make mistakes. You don't ever just say, well, the preacher said it, that's true. No, the preacher said it, you go home and check the preacher. Make sure the preacher's right. Say amen. The scripture is infallible. The preacher's not. Say amen. But it's clear enough that we can all, with the Spirit's help, understand the Word of God and what God has said to us without a priest or the Pope or anyone else telling us what it says. Say amen. So the Reformers clearly committed to this truth. It is not Scripture and traditions and the teaching of the church, it's Scripture alone. The Scriptures are our supreme authority. The Scriptures are sufficient to tell us everything we need to know about salvation and about faith and practice and living for God. It is sure, it is without error, it is infallible, it is inerrant, and it is clear enough for us with the Spirit's help to understand it. I'll be honest with you, I was talking with Denise. She's been teaching that class to the ladies in the ladies' meeting, and I told her, I said, you take that big old thick Strong's Concordance over there, and you show them how I had to do it when I first started. You find the word, right? Strong's Concordance was a big old thick book divided in two parts. You find the word, right? Go through here, find the word. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. There's the word. That's number 3744. Then I got to flip over here to the back, find 3744, and there's the definition. Do that for every word of every text you're going to preach from. And now all you have to do is bring it up on your phone or your tablet or your computer and just punch the word and the definition comes up. We are without doubt, without excuse, why we don't do good study of Scripture. Without excuse. We have more tools at our disposal than anyone else ever had. We should understand it, right? But you know the problem? In America, we are more biblically illiterate today than we ever have been. That's not Scripture's fault. That's not God's fault. That's our fault. He has given us clarity in the Scripture. Now, Reformer said this, salvation is by grace alone. It is through Christ alone. It is by faith alone, from Scripture alone. And the final thing that we'll look at next week is it's all for the glory of God alone. And that's what we'll look at next week, Lord willing, with the fifth sola. Amen? Let's stand. We'll be dismissed.